This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Today we're talking with Marty Wambacher about his upcoming one-man show and tour, The Marty Monologues. The tour kicks off this Sunday at the Apollo Theater with additional tour dates in Chicago and New York. Marty, welcome to Out and About.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, we were so excited to hear about the show at the Apollo, and I'm looking through the program that you brought, and it's kind of interesting. You've broken it up into a section called The Stories and the Snack Trays.
Right.
Walk us through, what does that mean? What does that look like?
The way the show is structured, there's going to be a live song by Sarah Marie Dillard and Brandon Mooberry at the beginning, and the show is all about growing up in the 60s. Which was a unique experience, I feel. I feel lucky to have grown up when I did. I saw so much stuff. Well, anyway, so all the stories had that theme about them. So it's going to be an opening song live, and then there's going to be an introduction and three stories that will be told. In between the stories, I did this in September just to kind of try it out, a different show. And I thought, I don't want to do story after story. A, it would just get taxing vocally, and I kind of wanted a break, so I thought, you know what? Maybe I'll make a sandwich. It was kind of inspired by Andy Kaufman. I thought, maybe I'll make a sandwich and have music playing, have a DJ, and then give the sandwich to someone. The tickets are numbered. People thought that was hilarious. Everyone I've ever told that to just cracks up. I don't know why. But it was nice because I tell a story, make a sandwich. And now in this one, the sandwiches, though, were hard to make because I put on plastic gloves. It grosses me out when I see somebody making food and they with their hands.
Yes. Yeah.
It's one of my phobias. So I had plastic gloves, but I rehearsed everything but the sandwich part of it. So people in the audience thought it was funny because I'm trying to open lunch meat and cheese up with plastic gloves. I really struggled. So this time I'm going to do snack trays. There'll be introduction, snack tray, and it's like a minute or two intermission where people, too, can relax. I ask everyone, A, not to heckle when I'm telling a story, and B, not to take any photos. Because I hate that when you go to a show and everyone has their cell phone up and they're watching the show through a cell phone. So I ask people not to do that, but I'm like, if you really want to take pictures, you can do it in this intermission section. So the show really flowed nicely.
You had mentioned that you had previously done not a version of this show, but a similar show back in the fall. So what did you learn from that experience, and you know what from that process are you bringing into this performance?
What I really learned from is that it really does pay to rehearse like crazy. I spent like 8 weeks, and I've done the same thing for this one, just telling the stories over and over, because I am an outgoing person, but I had never done any theater or anything like this in my life. And I was terrified. And the one thing I did learn was it's good to be on automatic pilot because I don't remember most of the show. I really don't. I did it, and we went on, and then the DJ, John Wright, I went back to him for the closing number. Sarah and Brandon were doing the closing number. Now it's over. And we also didn't stage it. I didn't know where to go when they started the closing number, so I just walked back by John, and I just whispered to him. I said, how did it go? And he looked at me. He's like, are you crazy? He said, everybody loved it. I'm like, really? And they did. Everybody really liked it. So I learned, A, to rehearse. You don't drink before the show. I do like to have a beer or two, and a lot of people that were there, they're like, so how much did you drink before the show? And that's something that could cause disaster. So I didn't drink before, even though your nerves are like frazzled. The main thing I learned was to rehearse it inside and out, because when you go out, you kind of go on to automatic pilot. And I got through it, and everybody seemed to like it. So we'll see what happens this time.
And even though this is your second time now performing on stage, you've been telling stories forever. Through blogs and through writing and a bunch of different things. Why did you decide that you wanted to kind of switch the medium of storytelling to being on stage?
Well, it's a funny story that I'll condense down. A friend of mine, like 10 years ago, saw Eddie Izzard in Chicago. She lived in Chicago. That's when I lived in New York. And we used to meet once a year. And she said to me, this is over 10 years ago. She's like, Eddie Izzard did this monologue. And I am a big mouth at parties. I'm always the one talking and people. And I do have a lot of stories. And she said, you need to do a show like that. And I said, are you out of your mind? I'm like, I could never do something like that. I mean, the nice thing about writing is you can throw it out there, and if people don't like it, you don't have to be there in front of them. And because I've had it work both ways. So she kept pestering about it. And finally, I watched a show and it kind of inspired me to do it. And then I went to the Apollo Theater. And I thought, anybody listening that hasn't been to the Apollo Theater, you don't have to come to my show, but they have shows there all the time. You should just go to experience that theater in Peoria. So many people I know haven't been there. And I went there and I'm like, this is the place to do a one-man show. Even though I call it a one-man show, there's other people involved. And it was. You kind of have half of it be because it's just such an elegant atmosphere.
The stories you tell are drawn from your own experience growing up in the 60s. And is there a particular effect you're trying to have? Are you just trying to tell a good story, or is there a message you're trying to convey here?
Some of them, because it's not all funny. Some people that didn't go to the first one, they're like, what are you doing, like stand-up comedy? And I'm like, no, it's story-driven. And what it is, it's about growing up in the 60s. In the introduction, what I explain is there is a line that goes, if you remember the 60s, well, then you probably weren't there. And meaning, you know, there was just so much drugs and mayhem going on. This is that if you were in the middle of it, an older person, well, I was born in 1958. So both myself and my brother, he's in a lot of it. He's 2 years older than me. We were really close. And we were the children in the 60s. So I remember like being 9, 10 years old and like hearing about LSD and saying to my brother Jim, saying, you know, I'd kind of like to try that stuff. And he said, well, maybe someday we'll learn how to get it. We were the ones that watched everything happen in the 60s. I always say we were kind of like extras on a movie set, to where you're part of it and you're watching it, but we couldn't really take part of it, which in journalism school, not that I've ever been, but people have told me, they kind of teach you not to be part of the story, to stand on you can report better if you're on the outside looking in. And that's kind of what kids my age were in the 60s. So we saw everything unfold. And I kind of take the 60s as they happened for me, which my first, I always say decades start for different people at different times, not at the beginning of the decade. For me, and I know the specific date, I won't get into the story, but the 60s started for me on February 10th, 1964. And I tell that story. And there's also, I touch on every year in this act, there's a story from like 1967, the Summer of Love. I was 9 years old then. And I mean, to have been a part of that, to see it, that was the most optimistic year in my life because that was so positive. And the hippie movement started. You had the Monterey Pop Festival, the first three-day festival. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band came out. My brother got that for his birthday. That's part of the story I'm going to tell. But it was such an optimistic time, and nothing was violent yet. And then the show kind of does go into where 68 and 69, things started to get violent. You had the Democratic Convention in Chicago that turned into a full-scale riot between kids and cops. And cops were beating kids and tear gas. So in 68 and 69, things started to get a little punctured. And then the last thing I touch on is the Kent State shootings in 1970, which a lot of people, including me, say that really was the thing that the 60s didn't die on that day. It started the whole erosion of it because I was 12 years old at the time. And I remember that story's kind of been swept under the carpet. A lot of young people that I talk to don't even know about it. But for those listening that don't know, there was at Kent State on May 4th, 1970, the Ohio National Guard. There was a group of protesting kids, like 800 to 1,000 kids, and they opened fire on these kids who were unarmed. And they killed 4 kids. 9 were wounded. 1 is still paralyzed to this day. And that I remember that day almost like I remember September 11th. I was in New York City on September 11th. It's just one of those iconic moments in history that I was really upset. And I do remember thinking, you know, this is kind of the end. That's where I stopped being naive and thinking the hippies were going to change everything. I really believed that as a kid. Both me and my brother, we'd be like, man, when we get older, it's going to be so great. We thought it'd be this like rock and roll utopia. And well, it turned into where we are today.
And one of the things that I like about how you've set up this evening is you've also brought in a lot of other artists, everyone from Chelsea Tams, who helped design your poster, the music. Talk a little bit about how you've kind of brought the whole community together.
It's been kind of nice because we've formed kind of a group doing this. It's almost like a little troupe unto itself. Chelsea does the artwork. Chelsea Tams from Lettering Works. She's great. It's printed at Technicraft. They're a family-owned printing business. We do it at the Apollo, a local theater. Sarah Marie Dillard and Brandon Mooberry are the musicians. John Wright, who's the editor-in-chief of the new Peoria magazines. He DJs on the side. He calls himself Juan Goblin. He's the DJ before and then during the little break. So it's almost like we have our own little primetime play, not ready for primetime players.
And people get tickets at local venues as well, right?
Right. And that I did that on purpose because people are like, oh, you can just sell them online. I'm like, no, I'd rather get them into little stores that I like around Peoria that maybe need a little traffic coming in. Because if you go in and buy a ticket, the odds are then maybe, you know, you go to the Lit on Fire used bookstore, you're going to buy a book there. Or at least maybe somebody who's never been in that store would be like, wow, this is great. So they're all on sale locally until Saturday afternoon. And we are going to sell them at the door Sunday night, whatever is left. So
after the performance, you are literally taking the show on the road because you're taking this same production first to Chicago and then to New York.
Yeah, that happened kind of funny, like so much stuff in my life. I was just out with my friends Amber and Joe after the first one, and we were talking about, I already had the idea for the 60s thing. I'm like, the first one was just random stories. I'm like, you know, it'd be funny, not really funny, but would be fun to do, would be talk about growing up in the 60s. I always have felt lucky I grew up then and was aware, I was really into pop culture. And we were just talking, and I just said to them, I'm like, you know, it'd be cool to do it in Peoria, Chicago, and New York, because I know people in both cities, or really all three. And they're like, oh, yeah. And so I did it. I booked a theater in Chicago and New York. I think so far there's going to be like 30 people coming to Chicago, which is just a 50-seat theater. And I have 30 to 35 people in New York that I lived in New York for 19 years, so I still know a lot of people there. So it's going to be a lot of fun to do it. I hope it works. We'll see.
You touched on this a little bit, but how do you test, how do you refine the material that you use in the show before the performance? Do you just rehearse, or is there an editing process?
Well, that's a good question. A friend of mine who I mentioned, Amber and Joe, their husband and wife, Amber is really honest. It's nice to have a friend like that that will be brutally honest with you. I do it in front of them. We're doing a dress rehearsal tonight with about six people, but how I refine it is I did it like maybe 3 weeks ago. I pretty much had it together. And so they come to my apartment. I use a screwdriver for a microphone and do it in front of them. And she did. There were like a couple points. She's like, what's nice is she'll tell you like what's really good. But then she like in the introduction, there was this whole thing I was going to do. And she said, I don't like that. And it is like, you know, when you're writing or anything, when an editor tells you that's no good, immediately you get defensive. I'd be like, oh, no, that's pretty good. And then the more I thought about it, I thought, you know what? And it'll shave 5 minutes off the thing. So I kind of use them as that. Well, they're credited in there as the story editors.
That's Marty Wambacher. He's presenting the Marty Monologues. I Was a Preteen Hippie this weekend. The show is Sunday night at 7 o'clock at the Apollo Theater in downtown Peoria. Marty, thank you for being with us and break a leg.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate having me on.
And the Judy Page Trio will be performing tonight at 7:30 p.m. at the 12 Bar Lounge. The lounge is located on the third floor at 4500 North Prospect Road in Peoria Heights.
Cornstalk for Kids is presenting their spring production, Romeo, You Idiot. It's a send-up of Shakespeare's play updated to a modern setting. Also, there's a vampire. Performances continue tonight at 7:30 and tomorrow and Sunday at 2:30 at the Cornstalk Theater Center.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Sierra Doss. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.